listening to Truth to You Radio on truth2u.org. That's truth number two, letter u.org, where you can sign up for the weekly newsletter and you can keep up to date via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm Jono, and Hani has joined me. Say a g'day.
Hi.
Hi, how you going?
Good.
Good to have you. And of course, it is time for the Cultured Karaite. Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Karaite. G'day, Deborah.
Howdy, y'all. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. Well, thank you very much. What's going on? You're cooking, you're baking, you're frying. What's happening in Texas?
We can cook outside on the sidewalk right now. It's a mess.
Really?
But I'm inside and I'm cool. You know, I got to tell you, and y'all know this, I say this all the time, and I say it on Facebook and everything, that, you know, I follow the ancient path, and I really do try to do that in everything in my life. And I always try to put things and say, you know, what would Joshua have done? What would Joshua's wife have done? But I'm going to tell you, I love air conditioning. And I'm not really willing to trade the air conditioner right now. I can tell you that.
You're not going to dig a hole in the ground and put yourself in a little terracotta pot and just sort of keep cool that way.
No, I like this air conditioning. So pray Jehovah for at least one modern thing.
Amen. Amen.
Can we shout out to some folks? First of all, everybody on my Facebook page, the Cultured Karaite Facebook page, I just want to thank everybody for liking the page. The numbers has really increased, and I so appreciate that. And I try to post, you know, some good things, and I try to come up with a recipe during the week. So I really do thank you to everybody for liking my page. And can we shout out to Nancy in Portland?
G'day, Nancy in Portland.
Nancy and Mark in Connecticut. Hey,
Mark in Connecticut.
Yeah.
All right. G'day, Mark.
And LaDonna in Kansas.
Ah, oh, LaDonna. LaDonna, I know, has commented from time to time on the website, and thank you for that, LaDonna.
Yep, she's a good girl. She's a real good writer. She's a real creative gal. That, and Nancy is too. Nancy does all this decorating and color stuff. I mean, you know, it's just so exciting to meet people and, you know, see their talents and get to know them. That is really exciting. I am not talented that way at all. I'm in the kitchen. That's where my talent is, in the kitchen. But, you know, Jono, we were talking about the ancient path, and I do try to, you know, to look at things, you know, from the ancient pathway. And, you know, I got to reading some research. I go down these little rabbit trails. I'm looking for something, and I find something else. And I got to thinking, when would Mr. and Mrs. Joshua have gone to bed? And when would they have gotten up?
Do you know what, Dev? I'm a thinker. And I love things like that. The questions like that, I could dwell on for hours. I really, really could. And I have thought about things like that. I'm really interested in the conclusions that you've come to.
Well, you know, I got to thinking about it because I'm sure y'all are the same way. When night falls here, you know, a lot of times we're still up and we have the lights on in the house and we're, you know, on the computer, we're reading and, you know, maybe the radio's on. But if you think about it, probably Mr. and Mrs. Joshua went to bed when the sun went down. One thing about it, and Hani's going to find this out very soon, they have these really cute little lamps in Israel, and they have them everywhere, all the souvenir shops, and these little bitty lamps, because they have found so many of them in archaeological digs. So they know very well what the people used for lighting. And these lamps were very, very small and would have had a olive oil in them and a wick. Well, when you look at them and you think, well, these are so tiny, they wouldn't have been really good for reading or, you know, for doing very much if you stayed up past dark. They would have been close to a one use or one evening, and it wouldn't have lasted very long because there wouldn't have been much oil in there. And you get to thinking about it, even though olive trees are plentiful in Israel, you know, there's still a growing season. And so you would have had to have made your olive oil last. So you really wouldn't have used a whole lot of olive oil in your lamps after dark. You really probably would have gone to bed, pretty soon after sunset. And you would have gotten up, of course, you know, when it was light again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really probably in ancient times, and honestly, probably up until the 1800s, probably followed that sunrise sunset pattern in their lives. In particular, we have longer days in the summer, so you can work outside longer. We have shorter days in the winter where, you know, there's nothing really to do so much outside, tend to your animals, that kind of thing, but you get more rest in the winter. And I find that really interesting. And sure enough, they basically call that a circadian rhythm, that people mm-hmm. actually have this circadian rhythm clock inside of them. And come to find out, our metabolism and lots of other implications in the way our body works is directly affected by this circadian rhythm.
Hang on, Dev. No, you're moving too fast. I'm still thinking about the little lamp. Bring me back to the lamp. Now, what you're saying is the little lamp. It's a little terracotta. It's a little clay pottery lamp in which they put the olive oil. There's a little wick that comes out of the spout, and that burns. But it's only small, and it would only contain not a great deal. And it's obviously not something that's meant to be on all the time. So are we potentially talking about just the household outback Dunny candle?
Well, I'm thinking so. I'm thinking that it would have been, used maybe if you had to go outside, during the night. It just would not have lasted, 4 or 5 hours after the sun went down. And it doesn't look like it was meant to.
Right. And so,
because otherwise they would have made them much bigger, you think.
Guess so. Yeah. Well, I don't know. And then you got to think about things like how much sort of exhaust fumes does it produce? How much smoke does it produce inside a house? So I guess the larger, the more. And so I suppose you try and keep that to a minimum as well. I don't know. But I'm really thinking about that now. But what you're suggesting anyhow is that they weren't all-nighters necessarily. For general household use, these lamps weren't for all-nighters. They were just for if you needed some light at night for whatever reason, that's there they were. But generally speaking, the idea is that when the sun went down, twilight was over and it was dark, the stars are coming out, they're getting into bed. They're not getting out again until the rooster starts crowing, right?
I believe that's probably true. And I think probably fuel oils maybe were easier to get in, say, like the 1700s, 1800s, whatever. I still don't think people stayed up, into the late night like people do today. Mm. I think they actually rested more. I don't know how much they slept, but I think they actually did rest more.
That makes sense to me.
So, that circadian rhythm thing, that's really... this is really interesting too. When are the Sukkot? When are those the feasts of Sukkot and unleavened bread? And they're during a full moon.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
yes.
they're 14 days into the month, and they're during a full moon.
Our father gives us a nightlight, right?
Yeah, if you were partying, you would want to party with some light, and boom, you've got it during the feast. I think that is just incredible because people probably, at times like that, you would come to Jerusalem, you wouldn't have seen some of your friends, for maybe a year or for several months, and so you're going to want to talk and party and have a really good time, and the feasts are during the full moons. That's just amazing. It's so wonderful when you see these little intricacies that Jehovah has done for us.
And the moon The moon is on a regular cycle, and so are we, in the way that because let's face it. I mean, Chani and I were talking about this the other day. People love to be on our bodies, rather. Our bodies appreciate, that might be a better way to put it, our bodies appreciate routine, a routine and a rhythm, a regular routine by which we can set ourselves for sleep, for waking, and generally metabolizing and things like that.
Well, you always know how much better you feel. I mean, I do anyway. I know I feel much better when I wake up in the morning of my own accord rather than having something wake me up, like the alarm going off and having to go, oh, I've got to get up, and I haven't had enough sleep because I've been on the computer all last night and here I am, and it's just not right. You just don't feel right.
No.
That's exactly right. Well, there's a doctor, a research doctor in Israel at the Hebrew University, who began to study people who have to do shift work. And what he noticed first and what kind of got him interested in all this is that shift workers have a higher incidence of obesity, diabetes, and other chronic diseases than people who don't work shift work.
So that would really suggest that sleep is a major part in chronic disease.
Yeah, major. And I think it's actually much more than we really understand.
It is. You know, while we're talking about that, I want to weigh in on that because many years ago, I used to do shift work, and I used to work the midnight to dawn at a servo station. And I did that so long, honestly, Deb, it started to drive me really batty. I went into a really strange sort of headspace for, I don't know, about a year. And it wasn't from lack of sleep. I was actually sleeping more, but the sleep that I was getting was, it wasn't very good quality deep sleep. But the other thing that I realized, of course, was that I wasn't getting any sunlight.
Mm. Right.
And my vitamin D was lacking, and it was really sending me into this bizarre sort of depressive state. It was very odd.
Yep. Well, and these are all these things that this doctor started noticing, and he set out to do this research. And I've actually got the link to his study. It's a YouTube thing and another paper that he's written on my Facebook page. But let me just read this one little quick snippet from what he says. He says, clinical studies in shift workers and obese patients accentuate the link between the circadian clock and metabolism. This review will focus on the interconnection between the circadian clock and metabolism with implications for obesity and how the circadian clock is directly influenced by hormones, nutrients, and timed meals. And he goes on with a lot of research that talks about how the liver is affected, how your hormones are affected if you're not allowing your natural circadian clock to mm-hmm. kick in. I know people are out there right now saying, how on earth would I get anything done, and I understand that, because there's a lot of people come home at 6 o'clock, it gets dark at 8 o'clock, they mm-hmm. They've only got 2 hours to get mm-hmm. A whole lot of things done at home, and I understand that, but I'm beginning to see, that it's very much worth it to try, somehow, to start following the sunrise, sunset situation where at all possible. Mm. It just affects too many things in our body. And also he and several other researchers have also, within this same type of research, have found that if you set your eating times and you set them within an 8-hour time frame, say like 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and you don't eat outside that time frame, they're finding a direct consequence on obesity and weight gain and weight loss. They have found that if you're eating within this 8 to 10 hour period during the day and not eating outside of it, you won't gain weight. And that means if someone is eating, normally, they're not eating just, total junk. Mm. If they're eating normally, they're not gaining weight. And if you're also doing that and following the circadian rhythm as much as you can with go to bed at sunset and get up at sunrise, people are losing weight. So I decided to try it and see what would happen.
You've done an experiment. Okay.
I have. And so this is 1 week today that I've been doing this it was hard at first because I even set an alarm. I have one of those nice phones that I can set like 100 alarms on. So I set an alarm to get up in the morning at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. I set an alarm to start eating, to eat my breakfast, and then one for lunch and then one for dinner. And what this research also suggested is to eat the heaviest at breakfast and lunch, and then make your evening, whatever you do in the evening, make it more like a snack and make it very high protein. So I started following that, and I didn't change my eating. I still have my kefir twice a day. I have, the regular things that I'm eating, a really good healthy diet with lots of vegetables and no grains, no sugar, no wheat, none of that.
You're still having the occasional juice.
Yes, I'm. Yes,
we're juicing.
We're into juicing. Just love the juicing in order to get, you know, actually more good nutrients in. You just, you know, we're finding you couldn't eat that much vegetables, so to juice them is just awesome for us. Mm. And so yes, we're doing that, and I've lost almost 3 pounds in a week.
Wow!
Really?
Yeah, about two and a half pounds in a week's time without changing my eating at all. All I'm doing. Wow. Is going to bed. I am doing one other thing that we're going to talk about in a minute, but really all I've done is just eat within that 8-hour time frame and make my evening. We have a snack in the evening that's, you know, maybe some cheese and some nuts, or we'll have another glass of kefir then. That's good protein with it, maybe with an egg in it, but something like that. And actually last night I scrambled just an egg with some cheese, just and, you know, not what I would normally fix for breakfast, but just enough to have a snack in the evening. Mm-hmm. And it was very satisfying. And what I'm finding.
So I was just going to say, what you're saying is that you are, is it fair to say that you're regulating your metabolism by timing what you eat, basically when you eat and when you sleep? This is in a nutshell what you're doing, right?
It appears to, you know, that that's what's happening. Okay. It's actually now I don't have to set my alarm for getting up. I naturally now wake up between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. just on my own. I don't need an alarm. I just naturally wake up, and it's, you know, the light is starting to come through the, you know, at the top of the curtains, and so I just naturally wake up. It's a little bit harder, you know, to get everything wound up, so I do still set an alarm in the evening that's like, okay, you know, now, you know, shut everything off, you know, and if I still want to get in bed and read, I do that, but I make sure that I'm in bed, that I
you're winding down.
Yes, and I'm really, you know, cutting everything off and winding down, and I start that actually at 8 o'clock at night, which I know sounds really early to a lot of people, but I don't always necessarily go right to sleep. It, you know, depends on how tired I am, but I make sure that I'm in bed and I'm relaxing and we're talking or I'm reading, you know, something like that. I'm not on the computer. I'm not thinking, you know, about what I got to do the next day. Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to do that, but also, I'm taking magnesium, and that's something I want us to get into. But so far, what I'm doing with the circadian rhythm thing is really working really well.
Very nice. And what you're saying is that from no other change in your diet or anything like that, just setting it to the clock, your body clock, you've lost weight.
I have, and I, you know, I hope it continues, because I have to be honest, you know, as much weight as I've lost, which we've talked about over and over the last year, just, you know, cutting out the wheat, you know, these kinds of things, you know, the weight has just come off. For the first time in my life, I'm not counting calories or worried about a program or none of that. And the weight has just continued to come off. But in the last couple of months, I plateaued and I haven't lost any more weight. And I still have weight that I'd like to lose. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to try this just to see if it jump starts me, you know, back into that. And sure enough, it worked right away.
Oh, interesting.
And how are you feeling mentally? You feeling good?
Really good, really good. Yeah. And I think there's several reasons, but I think the magnesium, which I hope we can talk about now, is part of that. Really have found two great books on the subject, and I've incorporated the magnesium actually transdermally and taking magnesium supplements. Mm-hmm. And it has made probably one of the biggest differences in how I feel and, you know, different things going on with me than anything recently. You know, of course, in the beginning, we had big changes, you know, with all the kefir and the good diet. But now, you know, I haven't had, you know, anything else to kind of rock my world until the magnesium and this change in the circadian rhythm.
So we have spoken about magnesium on the program very briefly before. We've mentioned before that we know that magnesium can aid in reducing stress levels, and we know that that magnesium can aid in a more peaceful sleep, and particularly if you suffer from things like restless leg syndrome or some kind of restlessness in your sleep, then or if you suffer from cramps in your muscles, then magnesium can be beneficial. They're the things that we've touched on before in magnesium. But what else have you found out, Deb?
Well, I found out that magnesium is far more important and plays a bigger role in our body than I ever dreamed. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, what's the mineral that gets all the press?
Calcium.
You got it. Why?
Because if you don't have it and you're a woman, you'll end up with osteoporosis.
The milk producers have brought that, you know, calcium is it. But here's the thing. If you've got a lot of calcium, if you're taking in a lot of calcium, which I am with the amount of milk kefir that I drink, if you don't have enough magnesium, that's really dangerous.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. It's really dangerous. You have to have magnesium in your body. And the issue with magnesium today is that we're not drinking from the natural water sources that our ancestors used to. The soil is depleted of magnesium. You can be eating the finest organic vegetables on the planet, but if the farmer's not replenishing the soil with magnesium, there's not enough in those vegetables to sustain your body.
That's a very interesting thing, Deb, because I have read about this before, and I have read about how most soils are deficient in magnesium, and they need to have it added back in so that your garden will produce fruit and vegetables that have magnesium in it. And I remember looking recently at a box of Epsom salts. And I was reading on the back, because Hani will use Epsom salts in the bath from time to time just to relax and chill out. And it's magnesium salts, right, Hani? That's what it is.
It is.
But on the back it also says to use either in the bath or to use in the garden. And I thought, use in the garden? Mm-hmm. And then it had instructions to mix it. And I just never thought of that before, but you can mix it into your watering can and then water it through your garden to add magnesium back into the soil.
Magnesium is so, and it's so cheap. Like, you know how
it is
cheap,
really cheap
Epsom. It is. Epsom salts is one of the cheapest things you can get. And the interesting thing is, I'm gonna make a statement, because I can make this kind of rash statement because I'm a layman and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm gonna tell you, magnesium is just almost as important to your body as your blood. Nothing works right. And listen to this list. This is just amazing to me. Magnesium is crucial to its proper functioning and is involved in more than 300 bodily processes, including muscle and nerve function, heart rhythm, immune system function, blood sugar level regulation, blood pressure, energy metabolism, protein synthesis, bone health. Magnesium helps sleep disturbances, restless leg, headaches, anxiety, TMJ, which is the you know, in your jaw, TMJ pain. It helps prevent calcification of the tissues of the body as part of the aging process. It relieves inflammation that can lead to chronic conditions such as asthma, allergies, migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and kidney stones. And 80% of people on the planet today, at least 80%, are completely deficient.
Man.
80%?
80%. Is that mostly due to modern farming practices?
It's due to the soil being depleted. That's probably one of the largest, because I ran across statistics where they've been, you know, keeping data that from the 50s coming forward, they've seen the degradation of the soil and they've seen the increase in lack of magnesium in people's diet. Now, of course, also processed food has a lot to do with that. And get this, this floors me. It's like, if I haven't, you know, tried to get across to people to stop with the sugar already, magnesium helps our body to process and release the energy from sugar molecules, but it takes 29 to 54 molecules of magnesium to digest one molecule of sugar.
Wow. Man. So, now, that's all sugars or like processed sugar? Yeah,
grains, potatoes, white rice, pasta. We've said before, when you put pasta on your tongue, your body doesn't go, pasta. Your body goes, sugar.
Yeah. So what about fruit? Same with fruit? Fructose?
Well, it would be the same with fruit, you know, depending on probably, you know, the form that it's in. Sure. Again, you know, the if it's in the whole fruit form, it's going to be much easier on your body sugar wise. Right. But if you're depleting, you know, your body with the high calcium and a bad diet, you know, such as too much grains and sugar and pasta and all those kinds of things, you're going to be extra depleted of magnesium.
So you're taking a magnesium supplement? Is that what you're? How are you taking it?
I am. I'm taking two 400 milligram supplements in the evening, but I discovered something else. And I'm so excited about it. It's magnesium oil.
I have heard about magnesium oil, and it's just a matter of rubbing it on the skin, and the skin absorbs it. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's really cheap too. And
is
the
it?
Thing is, it is. And now it's not as cheap as Epsom salt. You can do the same exact thing with Epsom salt as you can with oil. You just you just got to get in a bathtub, you know, to do it. But or you put your feet in a pan, you know, soak in the Epsom salt, soak with your feet. But the oil for me is very convenient, very very convenient. And I spray it on. Because I say this to everybody, I'm not ashamed of it. I'll be 62 in December, and I'm going on about 26 right now. But occasionally I will have the toe and leg cramps. And this is something new, you know, in my silver years here. And I'll use the magnesium oil now on my feet and legs. And, I don't have any cramps at all. I sleep like a baby. I have actually been sleeping through the night now on several, not every single night, but on several nights now with the circadian rhythm and the addition, you know, the magnesium, especially the addition of the oil, because I've been taking magnesium for a while. I just got a different kind that I think has worked a little bit better for me. But anyway, I haven't experienced that so much. And that goes right into the sleep is more crucial than people understand that it is. And
I have to let everyone know, of course, you did hint to us last week that we were going to talk about magnesium. So Hani went out and she did buy some magnesium tablets. And we have done some experiments. And I will tell you that I've taken one in the evening before I go to bed. And in those evenings that I have had a beautiful, deep, peaceful sleep. And I have to put it down to the magnesium because it seems to have made a difference.
I think it does. You know, here's another just a little facts I want to throw out. Magnesium is needed. Your body, you can spend all day outside in the sun and you won't absorb any vitamin D if you don't have enough magnesium.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. I just can't get over all of the processes, you know, on and on and on. If you're low in magnesium, you can have a much more pronounced reaction to food. You may not have a food allergy, but you could have an actual reaction to food if you're low on magnesium, and it can have a histamine response such as hives and, you know, itching and, you know, the red cheeks and, you know, all of the bad stuff that you might think you have a food allergy, but it could be that you're just having a pronounced reaction to the food because you're so low in magnesium. The list is just amazingly huge how you need magnesium. And the thing is, you know, and you have to see this, you know, when you see a page after page of all the scientific information on magnesium, and it's so cheap. Well, of course it's not going to get the press that, you know, everything else needs. They're going to sell you a pill for restless leg syndrome, and they're going to...
That's right. If it's cheap and it works, then they don't want to tell you about it.
No, not at all. So let me give you some food sources of magnesium.
Oh, really?
There's a few really good ones. Halibut. Now, it's interesting that every place I looked for fish, halibut, for some reason, was the one that they didn't say just, you know, fish. They said halibut was the fish that is higher in magnesium. And of course, any dark leafy greens, the spinach, the kale, the good dark leafy greens, those, unless the soil is really depleted, they're going to be the highest in magnesium and artichokes of the vegetables. Ah. Artichokes are really high. Black beans, not all beans, but black beans and white beans are pretty high in magnesium. But beans are something that we don't eat very much of because they are starchy. So we kind of watch that. But okra also is high. And buckwheat. We've talked about buckwheat recently and how it's actually a seed. You know, it's not a grain, it's a seed. Mm-hmm. And I include buckwheat, the whole buckwheat in my granola, and we really like that.
Now, so, speaking of which, Chayne, you recently got some whole buckwheat. Have you done any experiments with that as yet?
I haven't yet. I actually am planning to make Dev's granola, and I was all over your website the other day, actually, planning it all out, and then I've actually just gone cold turkey on all sugars. So I've decided...
Good for you.
So that one's on the back burner, we did get some whole buckwheat.
I think you've only got maple syrup in there or something, but I've just gone totally cold turkey on. I'm not even eating fruit, but then I'm planning to make that. It looks so delicious. Just drool over the pictures.
Well, you know, magnesium, this is another thing. I don't know how much y'all have heard, but I feel like you have. We're hearing a lot today about something called inflammation in the body, and it's actually inflammation at a cellular level, you know, caused by you know, poor diet and, you know, and high in sugar and these kind of things. And they're saying that, you know, this thing that they're calling metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance, this causes high inflammation, you know, in the body at the cellular level. Mm-hmm. And some of the doctors, research scientists have stated that this inflammation is one of the, it says a central mediating factor in inflammation, and that's the one that causes the high blood pressure and the atherosclerosis in the, you know, in the arteries and those things, is magnesium. Right. And Dr. Michael Eads, who's written several really good books, he says virtually all the components of the metabolic syndrome of diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, lipid disorders, and even brain disorders, but, you know, like dementia and Alzheimer's, are all associated with magnesium. And, you know, saying that we definitely need more magnesium. And one of the things, the supplements are not absorbed by your gut and your intestines quite as well, because magnesium is a mineral. And so you will absorb some, but you really don't get the benefit from, you know, just any of the supplements. So two that I recommend that they are more absorbable than some of the others are magnesium glycinate and magnesium orotate, O-R-O-T-A-T-E. Mm-hmm. Those two are a little bit more absorbable. But here's something interesting. If you're eating good probiotic food and drink, that's going to cause that magnesium to be absorbed even more easily.
Wow.
So that's really exciting that, you know, those people that I know that are on the bandwagon with a good probiotic food and drink, it causes your gut and intestine to be able to more easily absorb that magnesium. And then the magnesium oil, you know, is great. Now, I got to say this. I read this over and over in these two great books. I want to say the names of the books because they're very small books. They're very easily read and understandable. And you can actually get them for really, really low price. One is called Magnesium Miracle by Dr. Carolyn Dean, D-E-A-N. And that's probably the best known book and most quoted book on magnesium. She's done a tremendous work and research, Magnesium Miracle. But the other one that I love this book. It's called Transdermal Magnesium Therapy, and it's by Dr. Mark Sirkus, S-I-R-C-U-S. And he has a tremendous amount of information. And he also has some YouTube videos out there, talking about all the benefits of the magnesium oil in particular. And I'm really finding that oil very convenient and, great addition to what I'm doing. One of the things, and I'm very thankful for this, my parents both had arthritis. And my mom especially seemed like she suffered with it. And I don't have any signs or symptoms of arthritis, and I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. I think from what I've read, cutting out the sugar has been one of the smartest things I could do as an older person, to not have arthritis and to not get it started. But for those people who do suffer with it or have some issues, you can spray that magnesium oil on the place where you have that arthritis, and it will undo the cramps, the knots, or whatever, mm. and it will relax those muscles, and it will take away the pain. And the reason it does that is because, and this is a quote from Dr. Sirkus, is what is essential to remember about treating pain with magnesium is that it treats both the symptom and the cause of the pain, meaning that the cause, it can often be traced back to magnesium deficiency.
Right.
Wow. And so that's incredible. A couple of things come to mind, Dev. I mentioned to you when we were talking about juicing, one of the favorites to juice because of its minerals contained and vitamins contained is kale. Have you been juicing kale?
Well, we did, but I got to tell you, my daughter called me and she said, I threw some kale in my smoothie. And she said, you're not going to believe this. It tastes like banana. And I said, get out of town. So Zev came to our daughter's house at one point and was doing something. And she said, hey, you want some smoothie? And he said, sure. So she handed it to him because, he knows she's making kefir and everything. So he took it and drank it. She said, what kind of smoothie did you think that was? He said, that was a good banana smoothie. She said, there wasn't a banana in that.
That was kale. My goodness. And what you're saying is that kale is high in magnesium. It's kale and spinach are particularly good at deriving the magnesium from the soil should the magnesium be there. Now, I've been looking out because of the juice kick that we've been on lately, I've been looking out for some kale, and we can't get kale here. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's not the right season or whatever it is, but I haven't been able to get any kale. Well, I found some kale seed, and so I'm going to be growing my own kale. But now I'm thinking, Dev, that I better be enriching my soil with magnesium. I better get the Epsom salts, make a mix in a watering can, enrich the soil, and then plant the kale and juice or ferment it that way. A banana smoothie with kale.
There was no bananas in it, though. He said, bizarre. I really couldn't get up, or, he said it was bizarre. You would think kale it would make it maybe a little bit bitter, but he said that not at all. He said, I think she had some, maybe a strawberry or two in there and something else, but it ended up tasting like a banana. That's wild. That's wild. And of course, if you have a smoothie, that's just as good because you're getting the fiber, in there as well. If you put the whole vegetable in the smoothie, either way, it's a really good deal. And, you do want to get your vitamins. You want your food to be your medicine and your medicine to be your food.
Amen.
But if it's not possible, I watered my, we live in a really small apartment. I've got a few plants out on the patio, and I watered my mint and my lemon balm and my other plants with some Epsom salts, and they're looking good. They're doing good.
Okay, I've got to try that. Now, I have a question. I do recall, some time ago when I was reading up on magnesium, it's not something you can overdose on. You can't have too much of it. What the body will do, though, if you do have too much, the more than the body will use, is it will just flush it out of the system. And I've heard that taking a large amount of magnesium is a good way to flush your system out. It will really just go through you. Have you read anything on that?
Not so much, except that's what Dr. Mark Sirkus says. He said you cannot take too much of this. He said your body needs so much magnesium, you know, to function optimally. He said, you just absolutely can't take too much. I'm taking 800 milligrams in the evening and I'm slathering up with this. You know, it's interesting too, this magnesium oil goes on oily, but it's all of a sudden then it's gone and you're not oily at all. Yeah, I don't know. It's true oil. I don't know what the situation is with it. It's kind of strange because you just rub and rub and all of a sudden you're not oily anymore. So I don't understand that.
So it's not as if you go to bed all covered in.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's the thing I'm kind of thinking.
It's really good. So, you know, that's what I don't want people to think, well, you know, I don't want to be oily all the time. No, it's weird how it goes away.
Okay. So, brilliant. Magnesium. How about it? Magnesium.
Yeah. We need it more.
You need it. Can't overdose on it. Get it into your soil. If you've got a garden happening, plant some kale and some spinach. There you go. How about that?
Yes. And those things are easy to grow too.
Yeah. Indeed.
It is. You're going to feel a whole lot better.
There it is. Dev, another cultured pearl. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
It's always a privilege to have you on, my friend. Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Karaite. We've been speaking of magnesium, and boy, it's spurred me on. I'm going to go and water the garden with some Epsom salts. Thank you, Deb, for coming back on The Truth to You. You'll be on very, very soon once again. Until then, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.